Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Moses for Zion's Poor.
The leopard cannot change its spots, nor can the Ethiopian change his skin. By the same token, that which is unholy cannot become holy. All men, without exception, are sinners by nature and by choice, and cannot depart from that which is theirs by that very nature. It is impossible for that which is profane to be holy, except it have holiness conferred upon it by one who has both the power and the purpose to do so. We usually think of and use the term holy to describe something or someone who is pure, not having fault or sin of any kind. This is indeed an accurate description of holiness, but it is not the entire meaning of the term. The more complete consideration of how the Scripture describes that which is holy is that which is consecrated or set apart. This is most assuredly true in the case of the true and living God, who dwells in the light to which no man can approach, having never been seen by men. He is indeed a holy God. Those who are described as the saints, the brethren, or the people of God are called holy brethren. They are not holy because they have never sinned, but rather they are holy because they have been set apart from the rank and file of humanity as the elect of God, the appointed heirs of salvation from before the foundation of the world. As Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." They are also called holy because Christ has come into the world as their substitute and has imputed his righteousness to them, even as he has taken their sin as his own. Thus they are seen in the eyes of the law and before the tribunal of God as those who are without sin, even as he is without sin. They are called holy because he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in them, working in them both the will and to do of his good pleasure, even as Paul confessed, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." They are called holy because they have been made partakers of the heavenly calling. The Lord Jesus Christ knows them that are his. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The true work of God in those whom he has called is never devoid of the evidence which his Spirit is pleased to demonstrate in those whom he is pleased to begin this work. Yet nothing is more common among the religious folk of the world than claiming to begin to follow Christ, only to fall away and walk no more with him when it becomes inconvenient or out of vogue. The exhortations given in the Scriptures to the sons of God are for the purpose of reminding them of the basis and power upon which they are made to stand. That man who is devoid of the work of the Spirit will not hear or heed these exhortations, and like a dog will return to his vomit. Yet those who have been given an ear to hear are kept by the power of God, as they are caused to heed that to which they are exhorted. Thus the writer of Hebrews exhorts them to consider the apostle of your profession. This is not some earthly charlatan who claims that title, but rather that one who is the chief cornerstone. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When Peter saw the glory of the Lord in the company of Moses and Elijah on the mountain of Transfiguration, he wanted to build tabernacles for all three. Yet the Lord spoke from heaven and told Peter, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." There is no other gospel, nor is there any other basis upon which the faith of God's called out sons is to rest than that which is spoken, manifested, and performed by Jesus Christ alone. He alone is our apostle, the foundation upon which we stand. We look for no other and declare that he has no rival or partners. Christ is all and in all.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at 44@windstream.net.